you heard that a man had become a Christian, what would that mean to you? If you were to say, for example, about a certain woman, well, she has decided to become a Christian, what would that mean in your heart and mind? Am I right in thinking that for most people you would think that it meant from now on they're going to live differently? Would I be right in thinking for most people would have an idea that, well, from now on they're going to live a clean life and a moral life and an honorable life and they're going to do the right things? Now, I think that will follow. But I wonder if you would be surprised if I was to say to you right now that that's not what it means to become a Christian. That's the result of becoming a Christian. That's what follows being a Christian. But that being a Christian is not making up your mind to do something. You could, for instance, try to be godly that way. And there are any number of people have an idea that they're going to get right with God by trying to be godly. They think about what the Lord God would want. They think about the Ten Commandments. They say, well, I'm going to do those things. So they don't want to steal. They don't want to kill. They're going to try and live a clean life. They'll try and do the right things and be everything that they ought to be as far as they know how. They'll go to church regularly and they'll give and they'll take part in it and so on. Now, all of those things are good. But, my good people, that's not what it means to become a Christian. To become a Christian might be helpful to you if you were to include such a phrase as entering the kingdom of God. Is that meaningful to you? Entering the kingdom of God? Now, mind you, I don't mean anything queer. I mean something that actually happens when anybody receives Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Now, what I'm talking about may possibly come out a little bit more clearly when we read along and study here in the book of Acts. In chapter 19, Acts chapter 19, begin at verse 8. We're going to be talking about the Apostle Paul. And I want you to notice how he went about this matter of winning people to become Christians. Chapter 19, verse 8. And this is what I read. And he went into the synagogue. That's where the Jews were. Where the people who heard about godliness, they heard about God. He went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months. Now, you understand, of course, they didn't meet in the synagogue day and night for 3 months. They probably did not meet there every day, even for 3 months. But it meant whenever they met, on the Sabbath day, whenever the people would meet for their synagogue meetings, of reading the Word and studying the Word and hearing the Word explained, Paul went there and spake boldly, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, the word disputing does not mean arguing in a destructive sense. It's not having a fight about things, like we oftentimes use it. The Greek word that is translated disputing here is reasoning, bringing out just like a lawyer would his reasons. And in that sense, you'd say a lawyer is in a dispute because he is setting up one side of the argument. Well, when a person is disputing, he is bringing out the various reasons and persuading. That's what you do with the reasons. In disputing, you show the reasons, and in persuading, you use the reasons to persuade about the things concerning the kingdom of God. And that's what brings us in at the point where we're talking about. You see, he went into the synagogue, spake boldly for the space of 3 months, and disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. That's not saying concerning human conduct. That's not saying concerning social affairs. That's not saying concerning personal character. But speaking the things that concern the kingdom of God. Now, I could, I suppose, talk many times on this theme, this term, the kingdom of God, but just now let me word it to you this way. I would consider by the kingdom of God the arrangement in which a man lives his life in obedience to the inward guidance from the Lord. You see, the kingdom of God is God ruling as king. Now, the only way that God can rule as king in me is when he makes real his promise, I will put my laws in their hearts. I will put my write my word in their hearts. I will give them a new spirit. I will give them a new heart. everything contained in the new covenant. And then you see, if you have in your heart the word of God, and you have in your spirit the disposition to obey the Lord, you will be walking in obedience to his inward guidance. You will be in the kingdom of God. You'll remember what John said, no man can enter into the kingdom without being born again. You have to become a Christian to enter into the kingdom of God. And this kingdom of God is in contrast to the kingdoms of men. You see, in the kingdom of men, which is a way of speaking about the average man's life when he is trying to be his own boss, every man doing that which is right in his own eyes, well, the opposite of that is seeking to walk pleasing to God, which was perfectly demonstrated in the life of Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth did that exactly. He did all the things that were pleasing to his Father. And in the arrangement that there was in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit had been given to him without measure, and the Holy Spirit was with him at all times. Now, this is what Paul preached about, this manner of life that is available and possible in Christ Jesus. Now, in verse 9, we read, "But when divers were hardened," now, divers means various persons. The only time we use any word like that today, that English word divers, is when we speak of a thing being diverse. But actually, this means various ones. When various certain persons, different ones, were hardened. Now, when you're hardened, it means that you have said no, and maybe the first time you said no, you were in doubt. Maybe the first time you said no, you thought you should have said yes. You just didn't want to say yes, so you said no. But you thought all the time you should have said yes, but you did say no. After a while, it's easier to say no, then easier to say no, then you never think about saying yes. Well, by the time you get to the place where you say no naturally, and you never think about saying yes, you've been hardened in your heart. "And when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude," because there are people, you know, that if they can't believe it, they have to oppose it. If they can't receive it, they have to be against it because they can't have anything else around them that they're not approving. And so there were those people who didn't receive it themselves, but they spoke evil of it. They made it look bad to other people. "He departed from them," Paul pulled out, "separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus." Now, disputing daily, again, is bringing out the reasons, bringing out the argument in the way in which he could in the school of this, in the school, that is, the teaching place of this man, Tyrannus. When they spake evil of that way before the multitude, means that they talked in such a way as to depreciate the things of the kingdom of God. They made little of them. Any way that you talk about it in such a fashion that it doesn't impress you is along this line. "He departed from them." No long controversy. He didn't get up in a big argument to prove that they were wrong. "And separated the disciples, disputing daily," constantly reasoning and arguing constantly in the school of one Tyrannus. And now in the 10th verse we read, "This continued by the space of 2 years." Now just think, there were 2 years long. Paul was in this man's place of business, arguing and reasoning and arguing and reasoning, and anybody wanted to come and talk to him would have to argue and reason with him when he would try and show them what was the real meaning of the gospel, which promised that God would come and dwell in the heart of a human being on earth. A human being would not have to live alone. God would come and be with him. And Paul preached that there for 2 years. "So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks." You can be sure that as Paul spoke, other people talked about it, and Paul would reason with this one, that one, the other one, and was reasoning along and stayed there, and that whole community came to know what the gospel was. They were enabled to hear and to understand the plan of salvation that was through Christ Jesus. When you say they continued there by the space of 2 years, it's just like having an evangelistic series, a campaign, going on for 2 years in one place. Now, that's just what he did. He stayed there and preached and preached and taught and preached and taught these things to these people who came to listen and listen and try to understand and to listen and try to understand this marvelous truth that God would come and dwell in the heart and you could have God in your own soul. And now in verses 11 and 12, we have a very interesting sidelight that's almost like something different. God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. This wasn't part of the argument. This was not part of what Paul talked about. Paul didn't spend time discussing this. Paul spent time discussing what God would do for you in Christ Jesus. Paul would keep telling them that God will forgive you your sin. He will take you to himself. He will change you inwardly and regenerate you and make a new person out of you, a new creature in Christ Jesus. He will then put his Holy Spirit in your heart. And his Holy Spirit in your heart will show you the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and will activate in you the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll find yourself from within moved by the will of the Lord Jesus Christ to want to be well-pleasing in the sight of the Father. And all that will be done for you free and with power by the grace of God in Christ Jesus on one condition, that you believe in him. So on and on and on for 2 years, Paul preached it and preached it and preached it and preached it and preached it. And then God, by way of giving attention to this and drawing the attention of the community to Paul, in the community where there were no churches, there was no background of understanding or belief, it was all brand new, God did certain miracles that attracted everybody's attention and used the hands of Paul to accomplish things. This was by way of proof, you might say, of the authenticity of Paul's relationship with God. You remember what the Lord Jesus Christ, how Nicodemus said to him, "No man can do the works which thou doest except God be with him." And when God has a servant of his preaching in a new community, he oftentimes will allow wonderful things to be done to prove it to people that this man really is from God. Our God and Heavenly Father, give us an understanding about these things and put it into our hearts to believe thy word. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.